Howdy, folks, and welcome to Moose Podcast number 509. Is it post-worthy? Well, I trust you folks all had a marvelous 4th of July, celebrating our 250th of this grand experiment in democracy. It's been interesting documentaries, readings, stuff going on this past week. It's amazing all that this country has gone through and is still here. I know some right now think this is pretty bleak, but man, we can weather it. And of course, sharing your photographs makes it a whole lot easier for a lot of other folks when they celebrate the joys through your images. So never forget that your photograph makes a difference. This episode of the Moose Podcast is being created with Adobe Podcast Beta. It still creates the recording, still does the transcript that you can find there at moosepearson.com at the blog post for the podcast. You'll also find links and image that I talk about there. But you can listen to the podcast anywhere you want, be it Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, YouTube. Of course, Spotify and Amazon, you can leave a comment. Spotify and YouTube, you can leave a comment and we can have a conversation. And there's always things to be learned and gained from a two-way conversation. So, hey, I'm here. Let's talk. Been a pretty darn busy week here in Montana. The rains left and the critters seem to come flying in. We finally have doe with a single fawn, and then we had a pair of twins born right out front again, and been having fun with them. Now, the mom with the single fawn is a fawn that was born here, we believe, 3 years ago, and her brother is still here, and they are hanging around. And their mom is the one that had the twins. And the single fawn is, the mom is at this point pretty mellow. Mom with twins, yeah, not so sure yet. It's fun to watch. Maggie goes out there and the deer just blow Maggie away. They don't even care she's there. And Maggie at this point doesn't care either. So it's fun to watch the interactions as they kind of move around, and the fawn's really curious who this little miniature, you know, funny looking deer is out there. A lot of fun. But bigger news for us, and I hope you're having the same great findings in your backyard. We had a Lewis woodpecker show up. It was the second time we'd seen him here. And then it showed up the next day, then the next day, and then the fourth day, we had two, and that is very cool. Got glass on them partly, but Lewis woodpecker, you might not have even heard of him. Lewis woodpecker is a bigger bird, bigger than a flicker, has really long wings, very dark, really dark, but great, beautiful red and gray and green in it. The book says they're rare. Depends where you are. Now, other than the sightings we've had here, the only other time I've seen them is in Montana decades ago. So in my book, they're rare. To have them here and actually get glass on them, that's huge news. Hey, I'm going to be at in Colorado, Denver, Mike's big event on September 11th. Have a whole new presentation I'll be doing. Love to see you. I'll keep feeding more information once I know. I don't even have a link for it at this point. It's just being put together, but it'll be in Denver area. Mike's September 11th. My good friend Vincent Versace will be speaking on the 12th, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Well, I just finished this whopper of a book that Ben recommended. It is 583 pages. The book is The Splendid and the Vile by Eric Larson. I mentioned it a number of podcasts ago. I've got it finished. It is a great read. What's it about? Well, you know, the subtitle for the book, I don't think really does it justice. It says, A Saga of Churchill, as in Winston Churchill, Family and the Defiance During the Blitz. It's, I mean, Winston Churchill is definitely one of the main threads throughout this whole book. But it talks about Churchill and Hitler and Roosevelt. It talks about determination, resolve, getting knocked down, picking yourself back up. There are, other than reconnaissance, there's no thing about f-stops or shutter speeds or anything like that in here. But boy, I tell you, if you want something that that gives you faith that we can keep pushing on, this would be the book. So thanks for recommending it, Ben. That's The Splendid and the Vile by Eric Larson. Really great read. Don't know if you noticed, but Bedford's had this huge sale. Don't know if it's still going on today, but of course, everybody has sales for the 4th, but Bedford's had this blowout one. Really cool. Yeah, I'm talking about Bedford's camera, Bedford's and camera video. You know, they, I talk about them every episode because not just their sponsors, but they keep this photographer going. They've got so much gear. Some of it's so eclectic. Some of it, I call up with little things and they have it. If not, they know where to get it. So they got the inventory. They got the prices. They have the knowledgeable people and they have the Moose discount when you check out. They've got the Little Rock Expo going on. Gee, it's coming 2 weeks away, a little bit less. Today's the 6th. So yeah, less than 2 weeks away. They'll be in Little Rock. You know, classes and workflow. You've got the huge trade show with all those manufacturing reps. Hey, they're doing a thing on Friday night baseball game. You go out and shoot. You can trade in your gear. There's Saturday morning photo walk. The classes. It's huge. It's Bedford's. I mean, what more do I need to say? It's Bedford's, guys. So, just here to tell you, they are the place that's going to make your photography just grow a little bit easier, a little less expensive. And a whole lot more fun. Bedfords.com. Thanks for sponsoring the Moose Podcast. Is it post worthy? Now, you might think that Moose has been on social a lot and seen such a bunch of photographs. So he's like, really? That's what you should be posting? No, this comes from another conversation. Somebody, again, a little bit dejected by their post reactions. So I thought, the first thing you need to think about when you're getting ready to post a photograph on any social medium you can think of, take your pick, doesn't matter. You've got to ask yourself, I think, a really important question. And it has to be from the heart through the head. And you've got to be honest with yourself. And you got to say, is this photograph worth someone's time? Is this photograph going to elevate them? Is this photograph going to entertain them? Is it worth their time to look at it? And if you have to put a caption on it, and if you have to explain the photograph, you got to ask yourself, you know, for a real honest answer, because if you have to do that much, what's that say about the storytelling element of the photograph itself? I'm reminded of what I was told by a pretty savvy photo buyer editor early on in my career, who was on the brutal side of life and didn't appreciate it much then. I do now. And they said, looking at one of my photographs, they said, you got to remember, you're only as good as your last published image. Because that's how short-term people's memory were back in the days with magazines. Think what it is now with the blur of social media. So in trying to help this person wondering if it's post-worthy, those are some of the criteria you got to think of about right off the bat. And with that said, I can instantly swing that pendulum and say, well, you need to share. Sharing your images can make the biggest difference in someone's life. You never know. And that's, you know, the old art is in the eye of the beholder. Well, how many people do you want beholding your art? That's kind of part of the things you got to think about as well, right? So conversation got me looking at my photographs, and I put some of my favorite shots of bears on my Instagram account. And they got, you know, the number of views I get is going down. It's been going down steadily for almost 18 months. And you could take that personally until you actually dig into the process a little bit. And that's where, you know, you got to realize your only control is the photograph itself. After that, you lose all control. So if you just think about the fact that one person could look at your photograph and it could change the way they feel that day or the way they're going, it means, yeah, it's got to be, it is post-worthy. But you need to get something out of it too, right? At least I do. I would like to get something out of that time. And Instagram, I got to tell you, it beats me down. It's like, oh, it's Monday. Time to think of things to post on Instagram because I don't do it on the weekend because I got to have some time to breathe. So I thought, just talk about Instagram. I thought I'd do a little industry analysis research. And this is all current as of last week. So Instagram, right now, their mechanism that reels are going to get a whole lot more play than posts. So in other words, video, okay? So if you want to put it time in video, now have you shot video and post-production video and posted video? It's a time sink. And if you're trying to make money, there's some out there who do a great job. They put out a ton of videos, they ton all these little clips. And over time, yeah, you're going to make some money over it. Is it enough to make it an hourly wage for all that work that's worthwhile? I did some quick numbers, and I don't have 100 hours a month to devote to creating reels to make it cost-worthy. It's 100 hours. Think about that. That's a lot of time. You got to shoot it. Got to post it. But you want those views, right? Reels over posts. Now, the thing that was interesting, that carousels get more Instagram love than posts from Instagram. Okay. Now you think about it. What are reels? Reels are just a bunch of still images put together in a slideshow with music. I don't know about you, but I get so tired of all of a sudden looking at that and you hit the wrong button and then somebody's idea of music comes screaming at you. Oh, God, that gets old. Anyway. So reels over posts and carousel over posts. And posts, yeah, that's just what I do. I shoot video, but I share stills. And that's what kind of drives my photography, forces me to become a better and better storyteller every day. Even though the numbers say, yeah, it ain't really worth your time, Moose. With that said, as of last week, on a daily basis, 3.2 plus billion, with a B, billion images are shared daily. Daily, 3.2 plus billion images shared daily. Now, you think about the odds. I think about it. I'm posting one a day for 5 days a week. What are the odds? Right, of it getting seen, let alone grabbing someone. So that's when you say, is it post-worthy? Well, you got to ask yourself, that photograph of that flower in that crappy light with the hose in the background, it was a nice thing at the moment, but is that really what you should be posting? Or should you take time and bend over and find a nice background and do so, you know, is it post-worthy? You've got to start with that, you know, remembering it's only as good as your last image published. So 3.2 billion, staggering. This is just last week. It changes, I'm sure, continually. One thing that interested me that right now, as far as Instagram pushing your stuff out and you're getting engagement and more views, you should have a caption of no more than 30 words. That includes all the @ and the pound signs and all the rest of that stuff, which some people put a ton of them up there, and statistically you should have no more than 5. But anyway, they're saying that if you have less than 10 word caption, it could increase your engagement and views of your image by as much as 50%. So what does that say? That comes back to what I started the segment with. If you have to put a caption with your photograph, you have to wonder if it's post-worthy. Just the stats show that less words get your photographs more views. Why? My first guess is people don't want to take time to read it anymore. It's that simple. Now, if you put a location tag on your photograph, so in other words, you post a photograph, you don't do any capture. I'm all choked up over this one. If you don't put any caption, you just put a location like Missoula, Montana, just doing that will increase your engagement and views by 79%. Wow. Okay. So I sat and I did a little test. And the only test I did was to see what would happen is putting music with a single image, which is the last thing they said will help change your views. Yeah, did it for 5 days, didn't help. Could be a short-term test, but anyway. Now, here's the part that got me. So talk about just stills. No reels, no carousels. A single image is having a great day if it gets a 5.2% engagement. So in other words, if you have 100 people liking it, if 5 people comment, you're doing great. For video, it goes down or it goes up, however you want to look at it. For the same amount, good engagement would be just 4 people commenting on a video. Now, it continues to go down and down and down and down as you add words and captions to the point where it goes to a negative number if you have more than 50 words. All comes back to it's the photograph that's driving this whole thing. It's your image, the visual storytelling you have. Now, I tried to see how engagement changes based on content and color, and I wasn't finding any really good data. I found stuff, and it kind of contradicted the other stuff I found, so that nullified it. But it was, and I still find it for myself, when you have prevailing reds in there, and guess what's showing up right now after the 4th of July? Then you get a lot of people looking and engaging with that photograph. And that's because we love red visually. The other thing is when you have disasters involved, like a car crash, plane crash, train running over a truck at a crossing, that kind of stuff, that really just takes and drives stuff up. That's not really what I'm looking for as a photographer to get people my way. But it comes back to, is it post-worthy? And going through the data and spending some time, and it was kind of enlightening. I'll be honest with you, with all the time I put into this last week, looking at stats and data research, I didn't find anything that said, I should change the way I do stuff to get more eyes on my photograph because this would work. There is nothing out there right now, as of last week, that's going to visually really make a difference other than the storytelling power of that photograph. So in this process, and it's a huge process, got to keep yourself happy. And part of that is getting the response that you think you want for that time, for that photograph. Part of that is not taking it on the chin when you don't get that response you think you should get. Understanding that partly it has nothing to do with you. It's the way the algorithms are working, you could say, against you. But understand that sharing your photography to me is essential for your self's growth, for the world's growth, for an individual to find it and put a smile in the heart. That makes it all worthwhile. So you've got to ask yourself your goals. And one of them has to be having fun and improving your photography. Then you know the answer to the question, is it post-worthy? You folks have a great week. Here we go. We're starting into midsummer when it gets a little bit harder to find things to photograph. Look for water. Look for food. That's where you can find the critters. Take your camera gear, grab some good light, and make every click your story.